Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing my teaching on spirit, soul, and body. And now, this week, I've been talking about how that it's the spirit versus the flesh. In the spirit, if you are born again, you are a totally brand new creature. Everything is brand new. Old has passed away. All things have become new. You're perfect in your spirit. You're as righteous, as holy, as pure as Jesus is. You have His mind. You have His faith. You have His anointing. You have the same raising from the dead power. In the spirit, everything that you need for an absolutely, totally victorious Christian life is already present. But you've got to get it out through your soul and into your physical body. And the way that that happens is through the renewing of your mind. You have to know some things. So I've been describing this week the battle between our mind being controlled by just the physical, natural things that we can see and our mind being dominated by what the Word of God has to say about us. And I've been specifically countering a wrong teaching that says we still have a sinful nature even after we're born again. And I know that that may sound like it's heresy to some people because this is so commonly taught in the body of Christ. I can't help what's commonly taught in the body of Christ, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 2, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" We aren't dead to sin in our bodies or in our minds. All of us are aware that we can sin very easily in our actions and in our thoughts. But in your born-again spirit, you are dead to sin. In verse 3, "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" And later in this same chapter, I'm not sure if I can talk fast enough to get through all of this, but it says that Jesus only died to sin one time, and now He's resurrected never to sin again. And it says, "Likewise reckon yourself to be that same way." In the spirit realm, your spirit is incapable of sin. It has no propensity for sin, no ability to sin. It cannot sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Whosoever is born of God cannot sin." The only part of you that is born of God is your spirit. Your soul and body have been purchased, but they haven't been redeemed yet. They aren't born of God yet. Your spirit is the only part of you that is complete, and it cannot sin. In verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death," if you're born again, you have been planted together in the likeness of His death, is what all these verses are saying. Then it says, "We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this." Now notice the way that this is phrased. The death to sin is automatic. When you get born again, whether you understand it, whether you know it, whether you've renewed your mind with it or not, you did die to sin. That sinful nature that you had on the inside of you, it is gone. And now you have a born again self that doesn't have a sinful nature anymore. That is automatic, but whether or not you walk in the resurrection power is conditional on you knowing this, is what it says in verse 6. And here's what you have to know, that our old man is crucified with Him. You know, I don't have the NIV translation in front of me right now, and so I'm doing this by memory. I may miss it, but in most of this chapter, this is translated the sinful nature. And you know what? That sometimes is a translation, an interpretation rather than a translation. But in this case, I believe that that's exactly what this is talking about. That our old man, talking about the sinful nature, is crucified. It's dead. It's gone. And some people think, well, it's dead only symbolically. It's dead in a theological sense, but it's still there and it's still functioning and still working. No, I believe it's dead. It's crucified with Him. But then it says the next phrase in this sixth verse, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's a progression here. First of all, your old sinful nature has to be dead. And then you have to destroy the body that that sinful nature left behind. And then that means you won't be dominated by sin anymore. This is a progression. You know, in the natural realm, if you were just talking about our physical bodies, when a person dies, according to James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when your spirit and soul leave your body is when a person dies. But so the real you is a spiritual being. And when a person dies, the real them goes to be with the Lord if they're born again. If they aren't born again, it goes into torment in hell. But the real person isn't in that physical body. But did you know it? The real person leaves behind this physical body. It's like your earth suit. This body is like my earth suit that allows me to function in this environment. But the real me isn't this physical body. I'm going to exist without this physical body. If I die before the Lord comes back, then I will be immediately in the presence of God in my spirit and in my soul. And when the second return of the Lord comes, I'll be reunited with my body, and it'll be a glorified body. But I can exist without this body. I can't exist in this environment. I couldn't still be alive on this earth, but I could be alive in heaven and alive in the presence of God. And so anyway, this is what the Scripture is talking about. But when your physical body dies, or when you leave your physical body, it leaves behind this body. And this body, for a period of time, might still look like it's the same. You could still recognize a person. You know, it takes sometimes, I don't know all of the details of this, but it takes months or years for a person's body to decay to the point that you couldn't recognize it. You know, you could still recognize a person. Matter of fact, I had a friend of mine who used to do autopsies on corpses in Parkland Hospital. And he was on the 13th floor of Parkland Hospital. And he pulled a man out of this slab, put him on a table, turned around to get some instruments, and when he turned back around, this body was sitting up. The guy's eyes were open. His arms were dangling at his side like this. And his eyes were open and his mouth was open, and he was sitting up. And this guy said he nearly jumped right out the 13th story window of this Parkland Hospital. It scared him so much. He went running out and got people, and they came in, pushed the corpse back down, and did some checks, and the person was dead. But you know what? There are still electrical impulses in your body that can trigger a muscle contraction. And in this case, this person actually sat up and they were dead. There wasn't any life in them. And yet the body for a period of time will still look the same. It can even twitch. There could be muscle contractions. There is a body left behind when a person dies. And in this spiritual sense right here, when your old sinful nature, the old man, died, it left behind a body. I'm not talking about your physical flesh and blood body right here, but it left behind a personality, the way you think. The sinful nature educated your mind and your personality to be selfish, to be critical of other people, to be prejudiced, to be afraid, to be bitter, to be dominated and controlled by this physical realm. You were trained to be that way. You know, a little baby, when they come into the world, they don't have all of the hang-ups that adults have. You have to be trained some of these things. Now, they have a sinful, fallen nature that has a propensity for this, and it doesn't take a lot of things, but I'm saying that you have to be trained to be as messed up as what most people are. And see, that old nature, that sinful nature, trained us how to be selfish, how to be bitter, how to be all of these things. When you get born again, God takes out of you that sinful human nature, and now you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. In your born-again self, you are as godly, as loving, as kind, as pure as Jesus is. But you know what? You've got this old thinking, this body. I believe that's what this is calling, the body of sin. You've got those thought processes left behind. And in that sense, your mind is like a computer, that it's going to function the way it's programmed until you reprogram it. And see, we were programmed by our sinful nature. We were programmed to put self above other people. We were programmed that when we were slapped on one cheek to hit the person back, slap them on both cheeks. But Jesus said, no, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. And you know what? That's different programming. That's different than what the sinful human nature teaches people to do. And so when you get born again, you now have this life of God on the inside of you, but you are going to continue to function the way you were programmed until you reprogram yourself by the truth of the Word of God. And it starts with understanding that you've got a new nature, and therefore you can act differently. You know, here's an example of this. This shirt that I'm wearing has buttons on it. And I know that I button my shirt because nobody else dressed me. So I had to be the one that buttoned it. But, you know, I don't even remember buttoning my shirt. You know, it might be, some people think, well, it's just your nature. I can guarantee you it's not my nature. Because when I was a little kid, I don't know if everybody had this problem, but when I was a little kid, I had trouble buttoning my shirt. I remember my dad sitting down and said, you are going to learn to button your shirt. Because I just seemed like I always did it wrong. I would start with the wrong buttonhole or something. And I'm old enough to remember my dad sitting down and teaching me how to button my shirt. So my point is, it wasn't just my nature to button this shirt, because I can remember when it used to be effort. But I have done it so many times, and I have repeated this so many times that now I button my shirt today and don't even remember doing it. It's like it was my nature. But I can guarantee you it wasn't my nature. It's an acquired trait. I had to educate and train myself to do this. See, some of you think, well, it's just my nature to be angry and bitter, and it's my nature to lust, and it's my nature to love drugs and alcohol and adultery. This is just the way I am. If you're born again, it's not your nature. You've got a new nature, but that nature left behind a body, a system of thought, a way, and it's been repeated so many times that some of you think that it's your nature now that is driving you to do these ungodly things. But I'm here to tell you the nearly too good to be true news that if Jesus is truly your Lord, if you've been born again, on the inside of you, your nature now is as pure, as holy as Jesus is. It no longer desires anything ungodly than Jesus desires it. And the only reason that you haven't experienced that freedom is because you were programmed by your old nature. And you don't understand that it's just a programming change now. The hardware has been changed. You've got new capabilities. You've got a new ability to walk in love towards people that you've never had before. You've got an ability to not operate in lust and selfishness and covetousness and all of the things that plague people. You now have a nature that is not driving you to do these things anymore. But until you renew your mind, until you destroy that body of sin. See, your old man is gone. It's crucified with Him is what verse 6 is saying. You have to know that your old man is crucified with Him. Then you have to destroy this body that the old man left behind, which is the wrong thinking, the wrong programming. The wrong programming, the wrong way of thinking. You've got to destroy that, and when you do that, then you will see the dominion of sin broken over you. Boy, to me, that's powerful. So here's what I'm saying. The reason that you or I, if you're born again, still struggle with sin and with negative things such as bitterness and unforgiveness is not because you are by nature that kind of person and this is just who you are. It's because you don't know who you are. You haven't fully recognized that you've been changed on the inside. You don't have a full understanding of that. And so by default, you just give token resistance to things. And after a while, you think, well, you know what? After all, I am a sinner. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm a fallen person, and the truth is I'm an adulterer. That's who I am. I've done it before, and you know what? I'll probably do it again, and you just give in to it. No, you need to recognize you are completely changed. And if you could ever see that, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you could see yourself truly changed as righteous and holy and pure as Jesus is in your spirit. And if that's the image and the vision that you had of yourself, you know what? You would wind up reproducing that in your actions and in your thoughts. Again, I'm not a perfect example on this, but I can tell you that I've had people spit in my face. I've had people kidnap me. I've had people threaten to kill me. I've had nationally known ministers that said I was a cult that have come out against me. And in every one of those situations, my natural self, my old sinful nature that is now gone, taught my carnal self how to protect myself, how to fight back, how to hurt them. If they're going to insult me, I'll insult them back. That would be my normal, natural tendency. But because I've learned these things, I have actually turned around to the very people who have cursed me and who have done things to hurt me, and I have loved them. I've turned the other cheek. I've wiped the spit off and kept talking without missing a beat. I'm living different than I used to be, because I've understood that now I'm different in my spirit. And to me, this is just so foundational that you've got to understand this. As long as you think that you have a new spirit, you've been born again, but then you have your old spirit, and then you have the Holy Spirit in there, and you have the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 and 9. You know, that's four spirits right there. It could get crowded on the inside. Amen. No, the truth is you had a sinful human nature, but now that's been taken out of the way. And you have instead the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been placed on the inside of you. And then the Holy Spirit comes and energizes and makes this life of God flow and manifest through you. When you understand that, boy, that changes everything for me. It now gives me a new confidence, a new boldness to be able to do things that I couldn't do before, because I thought, after all, I'm only human. You know, I've mentioned this before, but I hate that Christian song that says, "Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. One day at a time, sweet Jesus." I hate that song because I'm not only human. I'm not just a man. One third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. One third of me is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a third of me that is not human. And if I will renew my mind to that, well, then that will mean that two-thirds of me is now functioning under the supernatural ability of God, and that one-third that's left, my physical body, will experience the supernatural life of God instead of the carnal failure that comes through this world. Boy, that's powerful. So again, let me read this in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. You have to know this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, this is something that if I had an hour or two to share with you, I might be able to make this point stronger. But it says here that if you are dead, which all of these previous verses saying that we died with Christ the moment you got born again, you are dead in your spirit. You are dead to sin, dead to failure, dead to sickness, dead to anger, dead to bitterness. Those things are incapable. Your spirit is free from those things. But if you are dead in the spirit, you are freed from sin. It didn't say free. In the spirit, you're already free. But in the soul, in the body, you have been freed. But whether you walk free or not is different. Can you see the difference between F-R-E-E and F-R-E-E-D? For instance, the American slaves were freed by Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. I think that was June the 19th of 1863. And he issued this proclamation that freed all of the American slaves. But did you know that back in those days, they didn't have the communication that we have today? They were literally plantations where they were like an entire colony or country unto themselves. They were cut off from the outside. And there are some of those plantation owners that didn't inform their slaves that they had been freed, and there are actual cases of slaves living in slavery for months or even a year after they had been freed because they didn't know what they had. And so they continued to submit, thinking that if they tried to run away, that the government would enforce their slavery and that they could be punished or killed. But they were freed, but they weren't free. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. You have been freed, But if you don't know it, like it says in verse 6, then you won't experience that freedom. I could walk into a prison cell and I could unlock it and say, you're free, and I could have freed you. But you know what? You would have to believe it and get up off that bunk and put your shoes on and have enough faith to walk out of that cell and walk past the jailers and walk out of that jail. Or otherwise, if you were still bound in your mind, you could stay there. Even though you'd been freed, you might never go free. There are Christians that have never gone free. They are still in sickness. They're still in poverty. They're still in depression and loneliness and fear because they don't know that they have been freed. Therefore, they aren't free. But this says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the emphasis is Jesus just died one time and he doesn't die anymore. And likewise, that means in the same way, we ought to see ourselves the same way. Some people believe that, yes, I died to sin, but then I resurrect every day. And they impute resurrection power to this old sinful nature. Nope. If you got born again, you are dead unto sin. It never resurrects. And you need to do the same thing that Jesus has done. Just die unto sin once. And after that, you reckon yourself to be alive unto God. You know, I'm out of time today, but man, there's a lot more I want to share on this. I'm going to get into Romans chapter 7 that will answer a lot of questions. So please join me again tomorrow as we continue this teaching. Also, remember that I'm drawing to a close on this teaching. This coming Friday is going to be my last day to offer any of these materials on spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that everybody in the universe ought to have this teaching. It would change your life. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Spirit Versus the Flesh, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm really limited in trying to get my point across by these little 30-minute broadcasts. You need to hear this in its entirety. That's why I'm advertising the materials that we're offering. But also our website is a great place for you to go and get much more teaching on this. We have television programs, radio programs right there that you can view and listen to on our website. I have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads. I have my Bible commentary available on the website. We've just got a wealth of information, so please check it out. We have that address on your screen, and I believe that you'll find it to be one of the best websites out there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
He put the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have to stand up and you have to speak it and you have to release this. When you meditate in the Word day and night, the Word rises up on the inside of you and then you make your way prosperous.
Join Andrew Womack for the Chicago, Illinois Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.
I had been looking for the more in my life, and someone had given me a teaching tape of Andrew's and had shared another church with me who is also a Charis Bible College affiliate up in Fort Collins. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes and seeing that Andrew had the more, was teaching the more that Jesus said we would be doing, the greater, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. So I got every tape that I could, and it was just feeding my belief and starving my unbelief with the Word of God, with Andrew's teachings. He prayed for me just a simple prayer, commanding the cancer to leave my body. I went in for the surgery. I was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. The doctors called me the very next day, which is unusual, and said, "Connie, we don't know what happened. All the cancer was gone." Of course, my husband and I rejoiced, and I said, "I know what happened." Cancer was the big sickness that came upon me, but not bigger than a cold for me anymore.